I will be reading out of the New International Version. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe.
What is your image of Antichrist? Is it some future world leader? Antichrist is a biblical word with biblical descriptions. But Hal Lindsey, one of the most prolific writers and speakers on the subject of Antichrist, in a whole chapter on Antichrist in his infamous book, The Late Great Planet Earth, never uses one of the Bible verses that speaks about Antichrist. Tonight, I want us to look at one of those passages found in 1 John chapter 2. Antichrist is against Christ or opposes Christ. In a loose way, then, many things can be Antichrist, for they are against Christ or oppose Christ. However, the Scriptures name something specific. John pictures Antichrist as being religious in appearance, as having a Christian facade, because at one time he'll show that they had an association with the church. Let's begin at 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Writing in the first century, John said that it was the last hour. Other New Testament writers agree with John. In Acts chapter 2, Luke writing here of Peter speaking, when Peter preached to his fellow Jews on the first Pentecost after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, said that starting with that Pentecost, or perhaps even with the death of Christ, we have been in the last days, and that there will not be another age on this earth. We are in the last age. Starting at verse 16, in explaining what they were seeing going on, Peter said this: "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then he quotes Joel in verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God," and he goes on with the quotation. "My brethren," he says, "Joel prophesied of some things, and we are witnesses to those things. And those things are happening," he says, "in the last days." He said that over 1900 years ago. Hebrews 1, perhaps you noticed in the reading that Luke just did for us, the Hebrew writer also uses the phrase "last days" to refer to the Christian age when the writer told us that God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son. Starting at verse 1 of Hebrews 1, he said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. There was a time past, but now He says we are in the last days. Peter, again, this time in 2 Peter chapter 3, prophesied of mockers who would come in the last days. He said this in verse 3, knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lusts. Of course, I know there's a whole big context there, but the idea is that he's saying that here's this prophecy, in the last days mockers will come. But then you turn to Jude, verse 18, and he refers to Peter's prophecy, and except this time Jude refers to it as the last time and shows the fulfillment in the first century. There again, picking up in the middle of the context, he said, speaking about the apostles, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. And the point of Jude, of that whole letter, is to say what Peter spoke about is happening right now, brethren. And that was in the first century. 1 Peter 1 uses last time, in this case, to refer to the second coming of Christ. Here in 1 Peter 1, 5, he speaks about us who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, Antichrist is coming. That is, someone or people who are against Christ. John indicated a fulfillment, or at least the beginning of a fulfillment, in the first century. Antichrist could be an office that is embodied by any one man at a particular time. It could be a movement or a belief system. But get this. Back in our text of 1 John 2:18, John said that many antichrists were in the world in his day. It's not strictly something that is yet future to our generation. And John says that this signaled the last hour. In the first century, he said, it was the last hour. Now let's move to verse 19, 1 John 2. Speaking of the Antichrists, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. They came from the church, John wrote, but they were not of the church. Many movements, oddly, that are against the church, against Christ, and against Scripture, and this is throughout history, begin in the church, or even a church. Now these people, John says, were in association with the church for a while. But because their hearts were not one with the brethren, or maybe even more specifically the apostles, they eventually left. Jude, again, Jude verse 12, also speaks of similar people, if not the same ones, that they work among the church. It's not as though they're just totally separated from the church, but they work among the church, pulling off disciples before they eventually leave. He said about these people, these are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. John tells us in his writing that if they had truly been of the church, they would have continued with the church, or again, specifically, the apostles. They would have continued in the things that the apostles taught. But these antichrists left the fellowship of the church and of the apostles by leaving the teaching of the apostles, which Jesus had given to them. So think about it. He who denies the teachings of the apostles, or denies the apostles, denies Jesus Christ, for He's the one who sent them and sent them with their message. And he who denies Christ denies the one who sent Him, the Father. I think sometimes people don't realize what their statements or actions imply. I don't agree with the apostles there. Well, that's like saying you don't agree with Jesus. That's like saying you don't agree with the Father, as we'll see. Going out from the church and the apostles showed that they were not of the church or the apostles. Sometimes God wants separation. It was good that they left the church. Now, you know, we always want everyone in the world to be a member of the church. But things just don't work out that way. So it was good that they left the church so that the world might know that the Antichrist, their teachings and their works were not part of the church. Are there not some people, because of what they teach, what they do, perhaps how they treat people or whatever it might be, that do not represent the church or apostolic teaching? And it would be better if they were not with us, so that the world would not think that they represent us or that they are typical of us. 1 John 2, verses 20 and 21. John continued. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. What was John arguing? He wrote of those who are against Christ. They are antichrist. And he wrote to those who are for Christ, we are Christians. What is the meaning of Christian? A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. And we have been given that name Christian by God in the Scriptures to show not only that we're of Christ, but that we have something else. And that's what John's talking about here. What does the word Christ mean? You know, that's not an English word. It's a word we've just taken right out of the Greek text. Christos, which means anointed. Christians are anointed ones. And that's exactly what John says here in 1 John 2 and verse 20. We are the anointed ones. We have been anointed in and by the Holy One, who is Christ. John said, you know all things. Not as God knows all things, for then we would be God, and we know that's not possible. But we can know all that we need to know. That's possible. God has revealed enough, such as in telling us the character of these antichrists, that our knowledge can be complete and keep us from being led astray. That is, we can know what God wants us to know. Do you know what God wants you to know. John said further, in verse 20, that he did not write because they were ignorant of the truth. A few lines back, in verses 7 and 8, John showed that he was writing to them of the things which they already knew. And he said this, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." So he wrote to them because they knew the truth. When I first became a Christian, and for a good deal of the first half of my career of preaching, it used to be that people would argue what the truth is and its interpretation. I mean, that was the argument within religious circles, and it was the argument outside of religious circles, just among the people of the world themselves, and it was the argument between the religious world and the non-religious world. They all said there's truth. You know, one person though said, well, it's this. And another person said, no, it's this. And then when you have some people who agree on what the truth is, they'd say, well, this is the interpretation. And the other one says, no, this is the interpretation of it. And while that's still somewhat the argument, there is a new thing that is sweeping through our country and sweeping through the world. And perhaps you've even heard of it termed as postmodernism. And that is that we can't even know the truth. We can't even know that we know the truth. It's not just that your truth is better than mine or whatever. We just can't even know. So we each go our own way. Well, from 1 John 2 there, in the verses we've already read, John was under the impression that he knew the truth and that his readers knew the truth. John chapter 8 shows that Jesus promised us that we can know the truth. And he was under the impression that we can know the truth. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Brethren, please don't let anyone ever move you away from what's written there in John 8, or for that matter, in 1 John 2. The Son of God, who knows better than any of us, said we can know the truth. And you're going to hear some slick speakers. It's becoming more prevalent all the time. And you're going to hear some persuasive arguments. And sometimes you may say, I don't know how to answer him. But run back to John 8, 31 and 32. Run back to what we've seen in 1 John 2. You can know the truth. Don't let anyone push you off of that. He who says that we cannot know the truth either has not read the words of, or does not believe the words of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. John wrote further that no lie is of the truth. Truth never implies a lie. Therefore, John wrote to reaffirm what the truth is, so that they might know that the teachings of the Antichrist were and are not of the truth. Now let's look at the last two verses we'll look at for tonight. 1 John 2, 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The liar denies that Jesus is the Christ. If no lie is of the truth, verse 21, and if antichrists were deniers of Jesus Christ, then they were lying and they were not of the truth. Men and women, however, deny Jesus in ways other than just simply coming out and saying, I deny him, or I don't believe who he is, or I think he's a false prophet, or something of that nature. I mean, how many Christians, how many followers of Christ would the Antichrist lead astray if the Antichrist just came right out and said that? Oh, Jesus is a big fake. No. They have to either do it by implication or in subtlety. He is Antichrist, John said, who denies the Father and the Son. Even as they denied the Son, they denied the Father also. Deny the Son, and you do not have the Father. You see, sometimes people say, I want to believe in God, but I don't accept Jesus. John says you can't do that. If you want God, the Father, you have to accept the Son. Then if you accept His Son, He said, you have the Father. Deny the Son and you just don't have what a person thinks that he has. Jesus Himself said plainly in John 15 and verse 23, he who hates me hates my Father also. Remember, Jesus spoke, in fact, the same evening in the chapter before to Philip, you know, he who has seen me has seen the Father. If they had traded places, if it had been the Father who came and lived on the earth, nothing would have been different. It would have been the same. Jesus and the Father are one. So if you hate one, you end up hating the other. The Father sent the Son. To deny Him whom the Father sent is to deny the Father Himself. For that person calls God a liar. Because, for example, do you remember when Jesus was baptized? He came up out of the water. The heavens parted. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove upon Him. And then the Father in heaven said that this was His beloved Son. And the one who says, I want God, but not Jesus, says, well, you know what? You're lying. Jesus is not your Son. I don't want to accept Him, but I want to accept you. On the other hand, again, John writes, acknowledge the Son, and you have the Father also. If you accept the Son for who He is, you accept the Father. If you have the Son and the Father, you have everything. If you do not have the Father and the Son, you have nothing. You may not be Antichrist, but if you're not a Christian, you are still not with Christ. Believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then live a life consistent with your belief. In other words, you're going to have to do some major changing. And we put the word repentance on that. That's what it means. Change your mind and let that come out in the way that you live. And then be immersed in water. And the Lord will forgive you and anoint you, as we've observed tonight. You may not be Antichrist, but if you are a Christian and you are not obeying all the commandments of Jesus Christ, you have lost Christ. Please repent immediately. Confess your sin to God, and He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're ready to take that step, either to rededicate yourself and you want our help, or to become a Christian, come forward right now, please, as we stand and sing.